This is the Cube Talk America Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. It's the B Block, the hour two of the show with Clayton McKee. I am Clayton McKee, your humble host, along with Doug Wilkie, Marty Ryer. Al Perkins rounds us out. We do this once a week, and if you're tired of it now, we got a whole year coming at you. One of our newest listeners, something Parker Callanon, Aaron
fucking Callanon.
She thinks this is the funniest Callanan thing she's ever heard, and I'm like, well, you've only listened for 10 minutes. Get ready, baby.
Wait till Al screams.
Get ready. Yeah.
I don't think I have anything to scream about yet.
By the way, I didn't mean to glance over Al in the headline section. I thought he was scrambling to find headlines, so I just tried to keep it going, only to find out I overlooked him. But he'll make up for that in a couple segments later, because
we got a lot to talk about.
Al talks a lot. You'll learn about that here shortly. Let's talk about our headlines.
We missed two weeks of shows during award season, for the love of Jesus.
I don't know who planned that shit. Well, what the fuck was going on there? Well,
Jesus.
I know that we've all heard, I'm assuming we've all seen this or heard about it already. The police are trying to track down a man who spent 3 hours licking a doorbell at a California home.
What?
I'd seen it all, but this takes the cake. Popcorn. Neighbor Francisco Javier Estrada told KION News. Surveillance cameras caught Robert Daniel Arroyo in the act of licking a doorbell for 3 hours.
Oh.
The Dungans said that they were not home at the time, but their children were inside sleeping. Police said a newly installed surveillance system, which was a Ring doorbell, helped them figure out who was licking the doorbell because it was a camera on him. Quote, "We are pleasantly surprised. The image was so clear. It didn't take us long to identify the individual," Salina Police Department spokesperson Miguel Cabrera said. The security cameras also caught that's European, moving an extension cord to the front yard and then relieving himself.
Oh, no.
You kind of laugh about it.
With the extension cord?
Well, it did not clarify.
Are they unrelated?
It did not clarify. And I don't want to, I don't want to put words in his mouth or anything else. I don't have the...
Those are good. These are better.
I'll do the picture. You kind of laugh about it afterwards because technically he didn't harm anybody. He didn't break anything. Homeowner Sylvia...
Did the doorbell get out, though? Because I mean, for 3 hours.
Police said Arroyo could face misdemeanor charges of petty theft and prowling. As for the Dungans, they said that they came home and made sure to clean the doorbell off really well.
Well...
He's got a happy girlfriend, though. I'm just saying.
I will pull up the video of this
he
idiot.
He that little man in the boat for three solid hours.
Well, you do your story, Doug. We'll come back to me in a second. I'll show you the video of this idiot.
So, this needs a little preface is that normally I Google weird news stories.
Who doesn't, Doug?
And this is really sad because it's Arizona, is that this is just a regular story. Arizona for you.
Usually you find those in Florida.
So, we are a test city for the driverless cars.
Uh-huh.
Driverless vans that are now here from Waymo are being being threatened and attacked in Arizona. More than 20 incidents involving vehicles have been reported. So this is really stupid, people of Arizona.
This.
So they have taken people fed up with the vans have taken matters into their own hands, hurling rocks, slashing tires, and even forcing vans off the road in an apparent attempt to rid neighborhoods of the burgeoning technology. Authorities in the Phoenix area test market have reportedly fielded nearly two dozen cases involving self-driving Waymo vans. Waymo, a self-driving technology company, is a spinoff of the Google self-driving car project and is owned by Google. They're testing them out here. Arizona Republic reports that police in Chandler have documented at least 21 incidents involving the vehicles over the past 2 years. In one reported case, a man pointed a gun at a Waymo, and in another, a Jeep ran six Waymo vans off the road. Others have reportedly screamed at the vehicles or chased them. According to the New York Times, some analysts expect more of the behavior in the future as companies continue to test artificial intelligence technologies. And there's a growing sense that the giant corporations owning driverless technologies do not have our best interests at heart. Just think about the humans inside these vehicles who are essentially training the artificial intelligence that will replace them. New transit technologies like driverless cars and electric scooters have drawn the ire of critics who say they're a danger to public health and safety. In an extreme case last year, a self-driving Uber car fatally hit a woman crossing the street in what's to be the first fatality involving
It was her fault.
Yeah. Right? Isn't that right?
No, no. It was the person in the car. The human inside the car had taken that was supposed to be like doing the guidance system that you were just talking about. She was not paying attention.
Oh, no. I didn't know that.
And didn't use the safety technology. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It was human error.
Right. But they're blaming.
Yeah.
Basically, the owners were saying, don't let individual criminals throwing rocks or slashing tires derail efforts to drive the future of transportation. So that, to me, sounds like a lot of really stupid people, but, I mean, are people really mad about driverless cars or just that fucking stupid?
I mean, that's all it is. It's just people being assholes.
I mean, that's just going to be happening, right? Technology is happening.
Whatever is new, somebody's going to be mad about and have some kind of stupid protest.
Well, running them off the road, I mean...
Right. What are you trying to prove?
Yeah.
Right.
That you're a shitty driver.
Good on you.
Yeah, and you're going to lose your driver's license and now going to need a driverless car.
And eventually people are going to be in those driverless cars. You're going to run them off the road and kill them? Like, that just didn't make any sense to me.
They'll think we need a wall to protect us from them? It's crazy stuff happening.
And I was in Tempe and went to dinner and then to a movie. And as I was backing out, my friend was like, you're about to hit a driverless car. Mm-hmm. You're about to be the problem. And I didn't realize that... And I don't know if it was some kind of delivery service, but it was a driverless car, and they were coming and putting the car in to deliver the food. Like the driverless car was there to pick up the meal
order, the food order.
Pick up the order, and I almost hit it because I wasn't paying attention.
Wow.
Well, there's that.
And my friend was like, "It's going to be you. Your fault.
You're
I'm
the
like,
problem."
Uh-huh. If I'm driving, it's always me that's the problem.
I wasn't going to say it, but I'll let that go.
We're going to let that go.
This is the, flashing back right to the story that I just told about the guy licking the doorbell. This is video of the guy. This was on Channel 7 out of San Francisco. This is the guy licking the doorbell. This is what he did for 3 hours.
Telling you, happy girlfriend.
3 hours?
Apparently he was there.
We've all smoked that.
He needs
that.
A girlfriend. Yeah. I think he doesn't have a girlfriend at this point.
So
he's just practicing.
You can see that. Okay, so this idiot, he comes along there.
Oh, he high. Look, do you see that?
Oh, he's high. Oh, yeah, totally.
High as fuck.
And there's a doorbell, then they've got the camera on the other side. So he was actually, okay, see that? Then they'll show a shot, I think, of the...
And he's looking right at the camera, too.
He's out of his fucking mind.
She knows.
Isn't that weird shit? Good Lord.
Wow.
Marnie, has your camera been licked lately?
No. How about your button?
Your button gotten licked,
your
Marnie?
Your bell? Ding, ding.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I think it's nicer than when I used to ask her about lesbian bed death.
Oh, my God.
Which I love that term.
You should call Aaron. and not you, Aaron, but my Ernie Aaron. That's got me for a little bit. Now I'm just going to go back to this.
Go.
So, Mike Huckabee. See, I didn't even dive on the Sarah Huckabee Sanders is a cunt bandwagon, right? This is about Mike Huckabee being a cunt.
Yeah.
Because he's a moron. And I can't handle
Apple tree.
Oh, not far at all. Just still hanging from one of the branches.
Actually, I can't prove that is not Huckabee as the spokesperson.
In
the long wig.
A really bad drag.
All of it.
That's an interesting theory.
Because she looks like 70 miles of bad road.
Yeah.
Trans lives matter, because God
damn it. She looks like hammered shit.
Hammered shit.
Well, we're not saying that folks that have transitioned look like hammered shit at all.
Not at all.
No,
just Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Yeah.
No,
that in particularly was a very bad procedure done.
She's an angry little inch.
Just a Frankenstein made entirely of dead dicks.
God damn.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Where did that come from?
Vice. Oh,
Veep. Oh, okay.
I've been watching Veep.
All right. Golly. My jeepers.
It's one of the things they call the cloud botherer.
Oh, the tall guy. Yeah.
Anyway.
Frankenstein's monster made entirely of dead dicks.
So, Huckabee was on Fox and Friends, of course.
Oh, of course.
What a shocker.
Gonna have him. Yeah.
Is that the story?
Everyone. Shock face.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyway, you recall, because this is dating back a little bit. This would have been the day after Christmas, right? The story.
Oh, recent.
Enough, because I wanted it to just bring the season together from what we had missed.
Okay.
You know. And you have Megyn Kelly, right? Who
professional cunt. I mean, she's out of the Olympics.
Yeah. And also fired.
She and Ann Coulter. Like,
Ann Coulter's in a whole other plane.
That's true. But they're both awful people.
They're awful.
I mean, I hope both planes crash. Yeah. But they're on two different planes. No.
Fiery crash.
But
those are great.
We know that Megyn Kelly believes Santa just is white.
Yes.
He just is. You might find that one, too, if you could.
Oh, I already have it.
Santa just is white.
He is white.
But Trump had been catching flack for, did you guys hear about the 7-year-old?
Santa just is white.
Yes. There you go.
Yes.
He just is. He just is white.
Praise. Mm-hmm. Now, did you hear about the flack that Trumple Stilskin had been catching?
For which thing?
Well, that's a great question. For telling the 7-year-old girl
my favorite story of the year.
Santa Claus is marginal.
Marginal.
At her age? During a Christmas Eve phone call that motherfucker made.
Mm-hmm. When his whole job was just to be there.
The media's coverage of the phone call, Huckabee said, I mean, it wasn't like Trump was boiling the girl's bunny rabbit on the stove or something.
I will not be ignored.
No. Dan. Dan.
I won't be ignored, Dan.
Dan, I will not be ignored. And I thought,
how's your dinner?
Woof.
Different movie, but still
whatever.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Same co-star.
Yeah.
Strangely, both matter. Michael Douglas.
Huh.
Cloud runs
Huckabee
through.
Went on to lament the media's coverage of Trump in general. You know, because they're also unfair.
Yeah. I know, because he's such a nice person.
He is, and he's so misunderstood.
Killing the dreams of 7-year-olds.
Well, right. Yeah. Everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Around the world.
Santa, the other way.
So Santa, believing in Santa.
Thank you, Jenny.
Atta girl. I like it. So, like, you know, chicken. He says if he doesn't make the call, if he didn't talk to the little girl, they would say he was curled up in the fetal position in the White House and he was unwilling to come out and talk to anybody.
What? That doesn't even make any sense.
Right. No. You're a fucking moron.
You can have a conversation with a 7-year-old.
He could have just done
that
what he was asked to do, which is just be nice to
Merry
the
Christmas.
Children for the little Christmas thing. That's all.
For one fucking phone
this
call.
This fucking bitch. I can't. Right.
Yeah, bitch.
That's not a big ask.
Right. Yeah.
Wasn't his second phone call to Eric? To tell him
he's marginal all the time. Because
Santa.
How come SNL didn't do that?
Yeah. I think one of my kids still believes.
The girl's father, Donald Lloyd, also came to Trump's defense.
That was funny, Clayton.
Which, come on. I think it's crazy. It just became a big deal. It's Christmas time. I'd love to keep politics out of Christmas. As for his daughter, she reportedly still believes in Santa.
Well, good.
Well, thank they were God. Only going to call a Trump supporter. You know what I mean? They're not calling my house for a Christmas message.
Yeah,
yeah, right?
I bet you'd give him a Christmas message.
Exactly. Here's I find you marginal, sir, at best.
Believing in you. Believing in you still is marginal at best. But for real.
Yeah.
Fucking Huckabee.
That is my favorite story for horrible reasons of
horrible
last year.
Horrible reasons,
because, you know, there's 9 million horrible stories about Donald Trump, but killing the dreams of a 7-year-old on Christmas on TV.
Right.
It's really worse than anything he's ever done. Like, it's the worst thing he's ever done.
And the best part is they'll defend him. Those poor fuckers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The three Fox and Friends. And that contessa.
Tucker Carlson is like, it's all right.
Huckabee without the wig. You know, he could have slapped the girl in the face and kicked her in the cooter, and they'd be like, well, at least he talked to her.
Right? He called. Right. Because he wasn't, and I quote, curled up in the fetal position in the White House and unwilling to come out and talk to anybody. Because that's what everybody
he showed concern about
saying.
Her cooter when he kicked her in it.
Right now.
I liked how when he made the remark that he was all alone in the White House, and it's a big house.
Yeah.
Right, which makes it, I guess, like, more lonely.
That makes it,
Right. Well, how does that work?
Well,
so
maybe
that
if he finds
sense?
Way to work for you. Yeah.
You
go
know
look
that,
in the cabinet for somebody.
You know that, what is it, Fred Trump, his dad? That his dad was probably like,
oh, don't go in his
shut
cabinet,
up,
just
son.
White robes and hoods. Yeah. Right.
By the way, I'd
one.
Like for us all
shut
to,
up,
like, we are all marked as safe from Trump's fake address to the nation.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Marked as straight.
I thank you for putting that on my page.
I was concerned.
I hope that you do, because I am. I mean,
and lest you forget from the season,
Santa just is white.
Yes. Thank you for that follow up.
I just have to say one more thing about that. That makes it better. She's so serious and committed to that.
Oh.
It's not even like a funny. She's like very like, but Santa, he just is white.
If you
because the part that we're missing, that's the cut, is she just wants to reassure the kids at home that Santa just is white.
He just is white.
And so is Jesus.
Yeah.
Like that's the actual full quote.
That's isn't fantastic.
No. Santa just is white.
Mm-hmm, there's that. And I think you should.
And so is Jesus.
And for that network, you follow that one with this.
Yeah. Same song.
it's back to the perfume pile for me.
Al Perkins, what's your story?
So there are really stupid fucking people in the world. Let's just continue that trend. It looks like the old year is ending with a new meme. Fans inspired by Bird Box, Sandra Bullock's Netflix horror hit, have started attempting something called the Bird Box Challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Hashtag. Oh, yeah. And Netflix is like, stop this now.
Stop the madness.
The task requires participants to attempt to do things blindfolded, like Bullock's character in the film. There is a slight difference. In Bird Box, characters wear the blindfolds as protection against an unseen force that seemingly takes over people's vision by manifesting their greatest fears. In the hashtag Bird Box Challenge, people wear the blindfolds in hopes of going viral. One version of the meme shows a blindfolded family paddling for dear life in their bathtub. That's funny.
That's funny.
While another features a group of women trying to use an escalator with their eyes covers.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. You got to watch my sister use an escalator. That's hysterical. So then there's like stepping out the crib after watching Bird Box. There's people lifting weights. I don't even know what this one is, but they're just doing dumb shit. But I guess there's people trying to like drive cars and stuff like that. But anyways, whatever all of this is going on, Netflix is like, stop this now before it turns into Tide Pods.
People are like going to get killed.
Yeah.
I was just looking at that bag because I was going to put it on my head. It doesn't have a warning.
Right. It didn't say not to.
It didn't say you shouldn't. But the same thing, we put up the thing in my windshield for the sun, the little sunshade thing.
Yeah.
And we put that fucking thing in the window, and Aaron and I both just stopped, because down in the corner is a little note: do not drive with this in the window.
Oh, look at Anon's comment.
What in the hell?
Yes, Jake. This Jake Paul, whoever he is, did it on there.
That's absurd.
Well,
people just being
this NBC affiliate morning show, they all three tried it, whatever the hell they were doing.
I mean, they just got to sit there and read stupid shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
they're just idiots.
Yeah.
They're the stupid people you were talking
about. I mean, that's kind of fun, and do the news blindfolded, whatever.
But don't drive.
But don't drive or like walk into traffic.
Right.
Or eat the fucking Tide Pods.
But if there isn't a note on there to say don't.
Okay, on this old radio show out of Chicago that I used to love, the Tom and Bob show, I think it was the Bob and Tom show.
Okay.
They had this guy that used to do this call-in show called the Mr. Obvious Show. And the best part about it was Mr. Obvious would sit in one chair and the caller would be in that chair and Bob and Tom were in that chair. And they would do the whole thing out
weren't looking at each other.
And so the one time the caller is talking about, what a good advice he got from Mr. Obvious the week before about the sun shield in his window to keep the car cooler. But like, and there's all these horns honking and stuff like that as he's talking. He's like, but I keep getting tickets.
I can't.
Oh my God. If you ever find, they're all over
fantastic.
YouTube and stuff. The Mr. Obvious show.
God damn, that's funny.
I have all of them. Whenever I go on road trips, whenever there's somebody who's like, I don't really like road trips, I have like a whole like hour and 5 minutes of just like little comedy clips from stuff just to get people like, let's just get over the nervousness of road trips.
Right,
and the fear that I'm going to sing for the whole 6 hours.
Which I love that, because Al has everything in the world in technology. And we were coming home from Palm Springs, which is like 4 hours exactly door to door. And we'd listen to a lot of music. And then all of a sudden it was just, and I love you for this, it was just Joan Rivers, What Makes a Semi Legend Most, like from 9 million years ago. And I'm like, I'm so happy right now.
Yeah. Yes. To the just Joan to Rivers have the whole show there.
Comedy album.
That's fantastic.
Just put it on there. So, I mean, just don't. If there's something that fucking
and
stupid,
look at what
like
Anand says. He's also eating Tide Pods. I mean, so here's the deal. This guy's just a douchebag.
Right, but people watch it because you want to watch a car
it's
crash.
It's like Johnny Knoxville used to be, right?
That whole stapled his dick
to something.
Jackass?
Yeah,
now, I just want to tell you, I never paid to see the Jackass movie. I would pay for another movie
you
and then sneak into Jackass.
You?
Oh, yeah. My God. Because sometimes they're really funny, and then the Oprah...
Yeah, they can be funny.
So
Oprah
here's my...
What was it? Mad TV did
That's
Oprah Winfrey
best.
On Jackass.
That's
and
the
it's
best.
The real Jackass
oh my God.
With the fake Oprah Winfrey.
Stop yeah.
It. You'll pee your pants. No.
Clayton.
I want to know...
Nicole Kidman!
No, but this one is really Jackass.
Oh. I know.
If you want to be alive, you got to get in a dirty garbage can and roll down
that hill.
I can't.
Well, like, what's your boyfriend's name?
Stedman.
Stedman.
I call it lighting Stedman. A lazy brother on fire.
God, that
I went home and Googled that.
That she, also, she does one with Kenny Rogers too, doesn't
yes.
she? It's the two of them do one of the things in the park. Don't they do it one together too? Or no?
No, yeah, that's Jack. It's Jack. It's
right.
From Jackass and her.
Right, but don't they bring Kenny Rogers into one too?
Oh, I only know the one with Stedman.
Oh.
Guess I'm the Oprah Winfrey Show, stay near my parents' house. And they show this, like, outhouse.
See, now, watching things where it's a train wreck for people is, like, for me, I would have to watch Wipeout. Like, Wipeout is fucking funny to
that
me.
That is funny shit.
I had never seen it. Aaron put that on when we first started seeing each other. I was over there, and I don't know, she had some other horrible fucking reality something on, and I was like, I cannot.
That fucking Bachelor show she was
on. Oh, Christ on the cross.
God,
I'm like, I cannot.
No.
I cannot turn this shit off. And the, you know, this is super early on before I'm like, hey. And so,
before lesbian bed death.
Whatever. And so, which she put on that Wipeout. I was crying. It
yeah.
doesn't matter. Like, it's this funny. Is just people, you know.
The balls.
But they're just, it's in a...
Isn't that your favorite show?
Oh, I love
Wipeout.
Yeah. Yeah. It disappeared now.
It did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But
I love
I,
that.
And I was like, this is not okay. It has to
come back.
I just
laughed my ass off that entire thing. Just
and that commentators were like, oh, and
yeah,
there's
and
a...
I didn't find out till years later
well, John
that
Henson's
that one guy
them.
Is yeah. a serious... He's from SportsCenter.
Yeah.
They're both named John.
Right, but
one's a comedian and one's really a sports
one was
analyst.
Like Talk Soup.
John Henson yeah. was Talk Soup
yeah.
on
yeah.
years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah,
right.
And then but the other one is really
Real
from Sports
serious.
Center. Like he's
oh,
actually
fantastic.
An ESPN commentator. And like
yeah, the game
oh
that
my God.
Wipeout the game yeah. show thing. Right, it was like a game show.
I yeah. stumbled across it occasionally on TV.
Forget
about.
Well, and people just forget it. Somebody falls down. I'm going to laugh.
Oh, it's funny. I know.
I don't care yeah. where it is. I don't care if it's on Wipeout.
Oh, and
any time
you fall, you want no. witnesses.
Oh, like, I've always said that.
I will
yeah.
fall
I have
down.
Fallen down by myself, and I'm like, God, no one saw that.
Well,
yeah.
and when people stand up and they're like, I don't know, you know, and they're like all upset, like, who pushed me? You're alone. You just fell.
You fell.
You yeah. fall down. You'd go to boom.
Yeah. I fell
and
at ASU
I,
on a staircase to the
I
library.
I will sit there and fucking knee slap, and I am laughing my ass off. Not that it happens often. I'm just saying when it has. I think it's hysterical. I don't care if it's me. I don't care who
you
it
need,
is.
You need witnesses.
You do. I agree. Yeah, it's fantastic.
I don't know what's
Sorry.
Happening right now.
A lot.
It always happens when we have met and haven't been together in a few
I know.
Weeks.
We're just kind of all
Your
off
turn.
The rails.
Well, police have arrested a 42-year-old Anchorage man suspected of stealing a front-end loader and using it as his getaway vehicle after a burglary.
Oh, no.
Police say Brian Petros was held Wednesday on suspicion of vehicle theft, burglary theft, reckless right. driving, criminal mischief. Online court documents do not list his attorney. However, a person walking a dog Wednesday morning reported a broken door at a Westside hair salon. Officers determined someone drove a front-end loader to the salon, picked up a frozen planter, smashed the front door window, entered the business, and stole numerous items. While responding to another burglary, officers spotted the front-end loader and conducted a traffic stop. They arrested Petros and determined that he had stolen the heavy equipment Saturday from a secured lot on the city's east side. Cut to a picture of the loader he stole.
Oh, my God.
If you're going to use a getaway vehicle.
Right. Get one with turbo.
I mean, you can. Nothing's going to get in your way.
No, I mean, he's going to make it through all of traffic slowly. But
right. He's going to get through
it. He was chased on foot.
Yes, after
Oh, my God. No wonder you love this story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's got a Tonka toy in it. I'm happy about that. You
totally.
Can, yeah.
Total Tonka toy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great.
Doug, your story, please.
Okay. So some of these are funnier than others, I'll be honest with you. So I'll try to skip through.
That's right. 7 years. Yeah. 7 years.
Yeah.
We're used to that.
Okay. Because I do think the theme
Aaron,
is funny,
get used
though.
To that yourself.
The theme, oh, is she still there?
She's on, who knows?
I don't know.
She may have given up.
I think she gave up.
Well, but she
when you hit 30-minute mark for her, she's like, yeah, fuck this. It's not that funny after all.
Exactly right. Yeah. Maybe I'll try it later.
When it gets better. Reddit's not that great, but the website, but they have something called Shower Thoughts on Reddit that cracks me up. And people post their epiphanies that they have while they're in the shower. And Reddit has an entire Shower Thoughts subreddit dedicated to this miniature epiphanies you have that highlight the oddities. Okay. When when you cannot sleep because you can't stop thinking about something, it's like a single program not letting the computer shut down.
Fair.
This one's funnier. There are about 50 million kangaroos in the world, and there's only about 5 million Norwegians. So if the kangaroos decided to invade Norway, we'd have to fight about 10 each.
That's
really out there, right? This one I like because this is – I know.
Oh, Aaron's still with us.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Yay. You're still there. Yay.
That completes the circle.
Yay for our brand new listener, Aaron fucking Callahan.
Showing endurance.
I like it.
Yes.
And I like that she threw it out there. She'll put her fucking – her last name on there. She doesn't care.
Yeah. Sure.
I like it.
All right. I like this one, though, because it's real. Theme parks can capture you perfectly moving at 60 miles an hour, but bank cameras can't perfectly capture someone standing still.
With a gun in their hand.
Right.
People who voluntarily wipe a public toilet seat of a mess other than their own don't receive enough recognition.
and won't do it at their own house.
And won't do it at their own
house. That's where I thought it was going. I was like, why are we praising these people? It'd be so, I don't know, but this is borderline. It would be so much cooler if the New Year's Eve ball dropped slowly over the course of the whole year.
Oh, that is good.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Where's Waldo would be much scarier. God, sorry. If Waldo was the one searching for you.
Ah,
right?
There you go.
Al, you'll like this next one. The first half of your life is people telling you not to do drugs, and the second half is people telling you about all the drugs you need to take.
That's true.
Before social media, all this shit just stayed in people's heads.
Well, no, they used to fax it to each other. My mom has a whole folder of shit they used to fax back in the 80s.
You faxed it.
She's like, she says Facebook is just the new faxing.
I think she's
absolutely share memes
right.
And shit. Yeah.
This is when it's kind of weird. If we had blood flowing through our hair, haircuts would be terrifying.
Edward Scissorhands.
There's no reason to get mad at all the new people at the gym this month. They're the reason your gym membership isn't twice as much as the rest of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Jurassic Park could have been a successful and highly lucrative theme park if they only cloned herbivore dinosaurs. And this last one's my favorite one of all. If tents were transparent, camping would be a lot scarier.
Oh, good call.
That's all I got.
That is true.
Shower thoughts.
That could be a segment on the show, right?
Yeah.
Shower thoughts.
With Al Perkins.
Shower thoughts with Al Perkins.
Yours would be bath thoughts.
Oh, yeah. There you go, right? Not bath salts.
That's
different.
Bath salts
Florida.
With Al Perkins.
Yeah, that's Florida.
I don't know. I think I like the bath salts version.
I like the bath salts one.
Well, not in Florida, because then they just...
Just eat
eating
your face.
People's
faces. Turn into alligators.
Yeah.
A non-coffin is just dumpster for people. Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's right.
It's the truth.
So, a couple things. Jamie Lee Curtis.
I love her.
Looked remarkably like her mother when she came out.
I've always thought she looks
her. No. I always did as well. Mm. But I'm saying when she walked out at the Golden Globes, I was like... Like, I was going to take a picture of it and send it to you.
Yeah.
Like, do you see what I'm seeing? Like, what is happening? That was remarkable. She's gorgeous.
Oh,
and
she
I
is.
I do love how they have, I mean, Allison Janney and
who do they pair her with?
It was the little guy who was George Bush in.
Oh, yeah, because they both, Sam Rockwell.
Yes. And then I don't remember who.
She was with Ben Stiller, wasn't she? Didn't they put Ben Stiller with Jamie Lee Curtis, and you find out how remarkably short he is?
You know what my mom said one time that I never thought about this, and this is why I love my mom. She just every now and then she just zones right in. I never made the connection. She was like, you know, when you think about it, Janet Leigh was in the quintessential horror film of her era, and her daughter was in the quintessential horror film of her era, and I was like, I never. put the two together.
Well, and then when Janet Leigh starred, or not starred, but did her cameo in Halloween.
In Halloween H2O,
That was like one of the big things.
And it was the little connection that, you know, she gave birth, it's 18, 19 years later, she had the Scream Queen daughter.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's just a weird thing, right?
No, by the way, I didn't watch the Golden Globes. I figured I'd catch the highlights later.
Yeah, it was iffy.
So I hadn't seen this picture of Jamie Lee Curtis until just now. But when I look at it, I realize if she was in a black V-neck, basically it's me. when my hair turns white.
Yeah.
That's really it. It's basically, that's what it's going to be.
Like
you know, it really is.
Yeah,
if that was a black V-neck, I mean, her hair is very similar.
Where she can open her eyes because she really she looked lovely. That's a
I think she's a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find an eye open picture.
Yeah, she is absolutely gorgeous.
Are we talking about it in entertainment?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, our gal Glenn. We have to.
But come on, Glenn.
But we want we want that to be out.
So Jamie Lee Curtis is going to make a film about an Oklahoma woman who stands in for absent moms at gay weddings.
Oh, yes. I saw the headline.
Oh, my God. I saw that headline, too.
Tell us.
It was one of our headlines.
Yep.
It was one of our stories. I haven't. This is cool.
So Jamie Lee Curtis has bought the rights to Sarah Cunningham's 2014 memoir.
Lovely.
How We Sleep at Night, which tells the story of how she came to terms with her son's sexuality. Cunningham became internet famous last summer after she announced on Facebook that she would stand in for moms who refused to attend their sons' or daughters' weddings because of their sexual orientation.
I'm going to cry.
Yeah. I know. I'm totally with you.
That is such a beautiful thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Fans had speculated that a film could be in the works when Curtis posted a tweet in September which showed a photo of herself with Cunningham. She said, I hope to do justice to her story and the story of so many marginalized people in the LGBTQ community. She forgot some letters.
But the you're tweet, only allowed 140 characters.
Right. I know my ABCs.
That's true. Yeah. All right, won't you be gay with me? the tweet it had read, I spent the day with my doppelganger, inspirational mama bear, leader, author, and social activist, Sarah Cunningham, whose program at Free Mom, her Twitter handle, whatever, is at Free Mom Hugs, where she offers support to LGBTQ. This is why it's LGBTQ.
They put it out of order.
They put it out of order. Don't fuck with me. David.
David.
Anyway, remember.
Fold
Susan.
The letters in. the letters
fold in.
Fold
them.
There it is. Yep. Together.
Yeah.
Oh my God, she really can play her. Yeah. They do look alike.
Yeah, yeah, very much.
I feel like Jamie Lee Curtis could play Rachel
Maddow.
We know who's going to play her in the biography.
Or Rachel could play Jamie Lee Curtis. Maybe
so great, Marnie.
I'm loving this.
This is great.
And as she says, as we say, stay tuned. # hero. # free mom hugs. The Washington Post has now revealed that Curtis spent 3 days with the Cunningham family in September and decided to make the film about their story. Curtis told the publication that she was moved by Cunningham's journey, and that was her quote with being thrilled to be able to, the movement being catching on, you know, that this movement is catching on and hoping to make a statement about it. Sarah Cunningham is the founder of U.S. nonprofit Free Mom Hugs, an organization that is all about moms who love LGBTQ plus kids. The charity, there's a Facebook page for it.
Wow.
The charity advocates and educates on behalf of children who have been rejected or discriminated against because of their sexual orientation or gender identity.
How could you not love us? We're so cute.
What? Just like right here. Oh, look.
We're the best. To keep you away from chiffon and backlighting.
However, this Cunningham became an internet celebrity last summer when she said in a Facebook post that she would stand in for the absent moms. PSA, if you need a mom to attend your same-sex wedding because your biological mom won't, call me. I'm there. I'll be your biggest fan. I'll even bring the bubbles, she said.
Yeah, and she got busy. Like, all got booked up.
Speaking to BuzzFeed News last summer, Cunningham said the post came from hearing from several same-sex couples how their parents refused to attend their wedding or even acknowledge their relationships. She added, people need hope. I sure do. And we need to be that for each other in any way, shape, or form. Hope never disappoints. She's an accidental activist. She has opened up about how she became an accidental activist after her son came out in 2011. Her memoir looks at the struggle with her son's sexuality. Her son's name is Parker. And not only was I, she says, not only was I living in constant fear, Parker said this, not only was I living in constant fear as a gay kid in conservative Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah. Good
which,
Lord.
You know, we were fighting a spiritual battle inside the walls of a non-affirming church. My mother and I were both struggling with what we thought was a literal life or death situation when it came to my soul and how I'd spend eternity. And for anyone who is a believer, of a certain faith, I don't know where they stand, but for sure. After learning of the high rates of suicide in the LGBT plus community in 2014, that's where she became the activist, which is... It's so sad, but it's brilliant that she paid attention.
What is it? Prayers for Bobby? What's the Sigourney?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the same thing where after the son committed suicide, the mother realized that
Joe, that's
her
horrible.
Church was just a horrible fucking place to be.
You know what I love about this story is it's like a double dose because she did this great thing, but then there's also going to be a movie about it.
Right.
You know, and I love the accidental piece of it, right?
I love that accidental.
She's not even really raising any money. Maybe to go fly places. But you know what I mean? I like it because it's not like this big, we need money. Well, she's like, I'm just going to go do this kind thing.
Because we did this story some weeks ago.
I'll give her money to fly places.
As soon as she did that and started doing it, other people all over the country started doing it as well.
Right.
Yeah, so that's even better.
So she couldn't make it to a wedding or wedding the same day, whatever it was.
Exactly. So there's other moms.
People started to.
Or not, dads.
Yes.
Dads.
Moms, dads.
Just full parents. Moms, dads, whatever, showing up.
This is restored my faith in humanity right now.
It's that whole idea of one of Al's most hated movies, of Pay It Forward.
Well, the movie's horrible.
I mean, the idea of Pay It Forward is fine. That movie is the worst. The kid dies at the end. I ruin it for everybody.
Yeah.
Because I don't
watch it. Yeah,
he
don't watch it.
Anyway.
Side note, I make myself laugh all the time, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
Every time I hear somebody on the news talk about abortion, I think about Dirty Dancing.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And I think of your line, it's the best movie about abortion ever.
No, best dance movie about abortion ever.
And it makes me laugh every single time.
Yep.
Back to you, Mark.
The last piece. Meanwhile, Jamie Lee Curtis has also proven herself to be an advocate for LGBT plus rights over the years. In 2012, she was featured alongside Martin Sheen and Brad Pitt in a performance of Dustin Lance Black's play 8, which I don't know that I'm familiar with, but it's a staged reenactment of the trial that overturned California's same-sex marriage ban.
Wow,
but I don't remember them. Curtis also featured...
We actually talked about it the first year that we did the show.
Okay.
It was, and they videotaped it, and they're all playing different people.
I was drunk almost that entire time, so I don't know. Yeah,
it's okay, Martin.
So I'm like, I got nothing here. But Curtis also was featured in a video for the Human Rights Campaign in 2016, in the aftermath of the Orlando gay nightclub shooting.
God.
The video told the stories of the people killed in the homophobic attack. As of yet, there's no release date or title available for Curtis's upcoming project about Sarah Cunningham, but it's probably the accidental activist or something.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm sure.
Right.
I will
be first in line
title.
To see
that
it.
Would be, me too.
That's a good. Go suggest that title.
Yeah, accidental activist. That would
That's
be
a great
really
title.
Perfect. And I just, it fills so much love. And when you look at, like, what Joe had, my
Joe
mom
just
thinks
said,
that gay people shouldn't be able to get married.
Terrible.
Like, what? What is it fucking hurting anybody?
What's wrong with people?
Well, like you say, if somebody's gay marriage affects your marriage, you need to question your marriage.
Yeah, then the only marriage in trouble is yours.
My cousin who, God bless people, but the idea that, you know, some of my best friends are black.
Oh, yeah.
Some of my best friends are gay. I love you. I just, the gay thing, you know.
Yeah, right.
Whatever. I want you and Aaron to really do well.
Love the sinner, but hate the sin.
That makes me want to take a box cutter and
fuck yourself.
It doesn't matter what bathhouse you pray at. Come on.
Exactly. But that, my cousin, a few years ago, made a comment about how marriage equality would affect... his
side hustle? No.
Thank you, Clayton.
No, fair. I'm trying to think. It's not like a 401k, but like retirement.
How?
I don't. I mean, this is why. Okay. This is where he went with it.
Yeah.
That it would affect his. Yeah, I love you, but I don't like gays. It was about his retirement, his wife's retirement, how it would affect.
I'm lost.
I'd like to know what the theory is behind that.
I couldn't ask him any further because it was making me head want to explode. Right. Because he was then talking about how and health insurance was going to skyrocket for him because of AIDS and because and that's
but not because of obesity and diabetes and heart disease.
But I mean that's where I just kind of went.
So here's what I do want to say.
I thought I can't
on this subject because I bring this up when people say, well, "How did your gay marriage? What did you say? Doesn't?" I just hate the fact that you're a gunk. Yeah.
If somebody else's gay marriage affects your marriage,
thank you.
Your
marriage is the problem. But here's what I do want to say because I have actually followed the conservative logic on this. So. I don't agree with this, I want the three of you to not take my head off right now. Mm-mm. But the argument that I've actually heard
anyway,
is they're not saying it affects anybody's personal marriage. They're saying overall it affects the institution of marriage.
Right.
Which that's a little
done,
more grounded in reality.
Because they've done so well with it.
Right.
Yeah, right. Well, exactly.
The institution of marriage has been
But I just want everyone to be careful about, well, it just doesn't affect my marriage. I was like, no, that's not what they're. And that is not what people are saying.
You're absolutely right.
I want to sneak this other thing in there because it just drives me fucking crazy. Is when it's totally unrelated, but kind of the same thing. After the football game and the football players like, I want to thank God and they're just like, God doesn't decide football games. Right. That's not what the I don't agree.
Right,
but that's not what the athletes are
that's
saying. If you listen, they're saying I want to thank God for giving me the skill or talent.
The ability.
Sometimes liberals do drive me nuts because they're missing what people they're missing the point. Like, God doesn't decide football. No one's saying
that. There are people that are praying for the field.
That's exactly right.
So that's where
that's
they think
the
God is going to
But someone just saying thank you, God, but I don't. It doesn't drive me up a tree.
And it's their own thing. That's fine. Oh,
that's all I wanted to get off my chest.
When people waste their prayers and their religion on a field goal.
Well, hashtag thoughts and prayers.
On anything.
Thoughts and prayers.
On anything.
But what my cousin was talking about, and you're absolutely right, mm-hmm. but what my cousin was talking about made it more about the financial piece. That's how.
Yeah.
That it wasn't about the institution of marriage. It was about.
Sure, how I'd like to know the rationale behind it.
But
it's
that
so bizarre,
me
right?
Calling him and asking.
No.
But I'm just like I can't even.
The wisdom of a fool won't set you free. I'm just telling you.
I don't have enough red string and a corkboard to put that together. I don't know.
So do I.
I remember exactly where we were standing when he was going through all this, and I was like.
Were you close to train tracks? Because I went, I'm sorry.
That would have been a push. No, this, we were in a bar, so it was this.
Oh, my God, and not it's a threat to national security.
Oh, well, my God. No, they did that here, too.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's a real thing?
Yeah.
That's a real thing.
That came up.
Comment about they said it was a...
Yep.
Homosexuality was considered a threat to national security for years because if you were in the closet and lying about it, you couldn't be gay.
They're going to drop their guns and just start fucking.
Yeah, but that's what people...
I mean, depending on what the soldier looks like, it's not a bad idea.
I don't know that that's out of the question.
Yeah, you
want to
get him while he's sweaty and looking good.
I know people who've set their own houses on fire so the firemen will show up.
Exactly.
I mean, come on.
And I don't see a problem
with... That was in private.
Boys.
Al, I don't see a problem with that at all.
No one can keep a gun.
We're gone off the rails, Marnie.
Boys. Everybody is going to think that you mean it.
Which
you
part?
Do.
I do, because I do.
Have you seen their calendar?
I know when they grocery shop. Have you seen those hoses?
And believe me, that's the better way to find it out, because when you know when and what time they, where and what time they grocery shop the fire department, you'll be at Safeway. Or
single girl
wherever.
Safeway.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, seriously.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's a real thing.
That's a real thing. Following firemen around the grocery store.
Your story reminded me of something that I watched, and I don't know if you've seen this yet. I was scrolling through Netflix last night, seeing what was new. I like to watch documentaries more than anything, because I like real shit. It's called Beauty and the Beast in Me. It's a documentary about Kevin Aucoin, makeup artist from the 70s, 80s, and early 90s. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting. The coolest part of it was he had a little camcorder, and he videoed everybody all the time, backstage, Tina Turner, Janet Jackson, all the girls for George Michael's Too Funky video.
Wow.
He did the makeup for everybody.
Wow.
The interesting thing was... I didn't know this until the documentary. He was adopted. And he, in his entire life, always felt it was a continual feeling of abandonment all the time, all the time, all the time. And even when he met, he finally met his birth mom going back. And she, again, all about Jesus and all about this, she wouldn't accept the gay of him. And he's like, I'll be damned. I've been abandoned twice by her.
Right, right, right.
God. But the cool part about it was they interviewed his adopted father.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how he was raised in this, you know, Kevin was born in 1962, raised in this Lafayette, Louisiana, traditional little community, blah, 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 blah. They went to church all the time.
Religious. Yeah.
They went to church. He and his mother went to church all the time until the church told them that their son, because he was gay, they couldn't come. There was something they couldn't come to the church, or there was something about it.
Uh-huh. And so he
said,
Christian.
And yes. the father said, and we never went back to that church.
Oh wow, Dad stepped in.
He goes, I only go to a church if somebody dies or somebody gets married. Otherwise, I don't need.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Brilliant.
He goes, no religion is going to tell me I can't love my child.
Oh my God!
And I just love that about him.
I love the fact that is his dad.
It was his adopted father.
But that's
and they adopted four kids.
Wait, right. I lost the thread though. Do you found this in a documentary?
It's on Netflix right now. It's called Kevin Aucoin.
Beauty and the Beast and Me.
Okay, thank you.
I didn't know if you'd seen it, but I would like for you to watch it.
Oh, I will. I loved him.
And I want you to report back to me.
Yeah, I really, really did.
It was very, very interesting because you realize he touched everybody in the 80s and 90s.
Oh, and he had a beautiful book.
He was A-list.
Yeah, he had a beautiful book where he made people look like other celebrities.
Yes!
I loved that, yeah.
Yeah, he was the one that saw what I'm sure a lot of people saw it too, but there was a part of a Friends season where they kept doing Jennifer Aniston's hair that I'm like, somebody likes Barbara Streisand. Like, someone in the hair department likes Barbara Streisand because they kept doing her hair and making Jennifer Aniston look like Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, I saw that.
And that's then Kevin Aucoin, when he had the chance, he did her makeup, and that was the portrait that he did of her.
Oh.
And he did her as Barbara Streisand from the early 60s when she used to wear her
hair. He was obsessed with Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, but it was one of those, and you could just tell, and I don't know if they're related. I don't know if that person that was doing the hair and makeup on Friends just thought it suited her or really was a Barbara Streisand fan. But there's, and it stops. Oh. Between the Rachel haircut and the later haircuts, there's just a part of one season where every time they do her hair, I'm like, is someone just like watching old Barbara, like not even Barbara Streisand movies. This is back from her like early club club days.
I wonder
days.
If maybe Kevin was doing her makeup for a season or two.
No, he wasn't. But then when he got the chance to do her,
that's what he did.
He told her he wanted her to be Barbara Streisand. And she's like, you know, I've heard that before.
Mm-hmm. I totally get it.
I don't know if you can find that picture to pull up.
There were so many more too. Oh, the other ones he did were great.
Right.
Making them look like the other ones.
Yeah,
so
where he took. Was it called Faces?
Faces.
Yeah.
I think,
oh, that book was gorgeous.
But when you see all the when he died, and he dies of a brain tumor, unexpectedly dies. Anyway,
he didn't really die of a brain tumor. Well, he died of being addicted to prescription meds.
I'm sorry. Yes,
liver and kidney toxicity.
Right.
Okay.
Because he wouldn't go. He got the brain tumor out. They removed the brain tumor. It was successful.
Oh, that never says that in the documentary.
But the side effects.
They never said that.
They got it was a pituitary tumor, and they did remove it because everyone thought he was going to get better. Wow. But then
it wasn't the drug addiction.
It wasn't the drugs that killed him. Is that the Tylenol is the second ingredient in so many like Percocets?
Tylenol killed him.
When you see they found hundreds of those little Super 8 videotapes that he'd filmed everybody. Sure. And it is really interesting. Like Cindy Crawford, when she just, because she talks about how they started together, basically.
Okay.
She was a little baby supermodel and all this stuff and all that they went through. And you see all this cool behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah. Oh,
like Tina Turner and him just dancing on set and being stupid.
Yeah.
Like, you're dancing with Tina Turner.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And Cher, Cher loved him. Like, she was completely. Somebody made a comment that Cher was very comfortable around him for some reason. Out of all the makeup people she had,
that's who she liked.
But you know, just anyway. But Kevin Aucoin.
Okay, I'm watching this.
Beauty and the Beast in me. It's 90
minutes.
Are
we in entertainment already?
You got another headline. No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll just paraphrase mine. So there's a docuseries, an expose, couple episodes long about R. Kelly. And surviving R. Kelly, and I guess the Atlanta Police Department watched it and was like, we're going to need to interview her because
I saw that headline today.
So and this woman has the woman in the video has
how many charges has he had against him though?
I don't know that.
Well, no, they were dropped. He had the child pornography one because they said he had sex with a teenager, but they said that wasn't really him. That it was the face superimposed on the person. And if you look,
No. I'm not implying that. I'm saying, but like his ex-wife and everybody.
Right.
Like,
so that's what they're saying. Like, so there's enough allegations to make this docuseries. Yeah. But the police are actually watched it and were like, oh, that's a crime. So
yeah, we can move forward on that.
Right.
Yeah.
So they actually are. So I just sent you
two. We have probable cause.
Okay. Yeah, I found the website. I found two. I'm like, this is one. I don't know if this is the one.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Her on.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's just amazing.
I totally get it.
Oh, I love that. Oh, wow.
That's a trip.
It's somewhere after the Rachel disappears where you can tell that she's done with the haircut and done talking about it. So they had to do something like radical with her hair to get people to stop talking about the Rachel haircut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they did.
And whoever did it, clearly, you know how you just know, like, oh, you just saw this movie or you just heard this song, like something's influencing you. And you're like, does no one else see that?
Yeah.
And then that book came out and I'm like, well, clearly other people are having that same thought about her.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. That's beautiful.
Okay. Got a couple more. A Christmas gift meant to keep a 7-year-old Ontario boy warm for the winter apparently left him all cold. But the way he responded was very naughty. He called 911 to report the cruel parents that gave him the gift. Ontario Police Sergeant Kerry Schmidt told CTV News the unidentified boy made the call on Christmas Day because he was upset with the gift and he wanted the police to help him. Schmidt said officers determined the call was not an emergency and no one was dispatched to the house.
Not an emergency.
However, he definitely thinks the child should be put on the naughty list based on a tweet he sent shortly after the call. Schmidt told the Canadian Broadcasting Company that even a seemingly innocent call like that can affect efforts of first responders since non-urgent incidents and fake emergency calls do take up time in the 911 resource center. If the person hangs up, we have the obligation to follow up on the person and go and track them down. He told the network, we have to treat every call as if it's an emergency. Schmidt said that he doesn't believe any charges will be filed against the child and that he hopes to turn the incident into a teachable moment for other kids unhappy with gifts that they might receive.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. Poor kid.
And another little call.
I wanted something else.
Another one that's call related. I thought this was interesting. A Dutch astronaut has revealed that he accidentally dialed 911 while orbiting Earth above the space station.
Oh my God, I love this.
André Kuipers told the Netherlands public broadcaster, I can't pronounce that in whatever that is, that he accidentally missed an important number when trying to make a long distance call from outer space.
Oh, no.
He says, if you're in space, it's like you're making a call through Houston, Texas. You first dial 9 from inside the space station, and then you dial 011 to make an international call.
Right.
And he said, according to Science and Technology's website, this is accurate. So, again, they are connected to Earth by a communications line, like a satellite would be.
Sure.
Well, he forgot to dial 0.
Oh.
He actually set off an alarm at the Johnson Space Center in Houston. He says, quote, I made a mistake. The next day I received an email. It says, did you call 911 by chance? Said before joking that he was, quote, a little disappointed that they had not come to find him. He said,
it's a great thought experiment.
However, it's not the first time an astronaut had dialed the wrong number from the space station. Back in 2015, Britain's first astronaut, Tim Peake, insisted that he hadn't prank called an unsuspecting woman from outer space, but had instead dialed the wrong number, saying, I'm on the space station. Can I talk to whoever he was asking for? And she thought he was bullshitting her.
Did you imagine?
But that's awesome. But it looks like it comes from Houston, Texas, because it goes to them via whatever satellite communication, and then out from there. So
that is one of the greatest stories I've ever heard.
That's something amazing, isn't
it? You missed it. He called 911 from outer space. Okay.
Oh, my God. That's fantastic.
That's just funny stuff.
We found out. Well, I found out last. I guess other people have known. When we do this one job, we have phones that are private and secure, so you can like give a little bit of patient information up there without violating HIPAA. You're not doing it on a personal phone, and you call the units, you text people, you tell people what's going on, and you get information like patients coming out or getting beds placed somewhere else. But if you call a unit, I didn't realize that the phone that they gave us the nighttime phone has a 480 area code. So if you dial the one unit, you get it with a 480. And it turns out this poor woman was like, I called like three times and she's like, you have the wrong number. And I'm like,
How could I dial the right number?
She's like, are you trying to reach a hospital? She's like, I have a 480 phone number. God. I'm like, I am so sorry. I'm like, I'm going to put the 602 in there right now.
Oh. Wow, that sucks.
And what? Just had no idea you know, programmed. Excuse but me. We know the numbers so well that a lot of times you just dial it. You don't bother.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, motherfucker, they should put on this. It's a 480 fucking number.
In the late 80s, early 90s, when I lived in Tempe with my roommate, Christy, the Valley Art phone number was 602-965 is Tempe, 6777. But they recycle phone numbers back then, just like we do now, but not as quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, now there's not enough phone numbers, right? So you can lose your number and get it turned around pretty fast. So even though it had been 2 or 3 years, and keep in mind this is pre-internet, people had phone books and had written down.
Yeah. Right.
And so for the entire time I lived there, and she warned me, she's like, so guess what? And I'm like, what? She's like, we have the Valley Arts own phone number, and we'll get the most calls on Friday and Saturday nights. And we did. As soon as they would leave messages, and we would be like, this, you know, it's not the Valley Art. And finally, we would start to fuck with people. They're like, what's the showy tonight? And we're like, Cinderella. Like, you know, we just fucked with people. Because we knew, but when we were out, because we were always out.
If you'd like to watch Cheech and Chong, press one.
Yeah. want some of what they're smoking, press two.
If you're 18 or over,
And we just cracked up because we were going out 7 nights a week on Mill Avenue. And so we would get home on Friday and Saturday nights, and there would be funny. You know, all these people that were calling. So I know something about being on the receiving end of a funny phone number.
Apparently, the phone number for Stacy's is very similar to Walmart somewhere, and we get calls all the time. I've never picked up a phone call looking for, you know, can I talk to a pharmacy? I've never gotten that one, but apparently they call
you will.
Yeah,
apparently they call the bar all the time.
It's always give it a minute.
Yeah, here we go.
Oh, entertainment. We just.
Yeah.
Stop. We need it all the time.
Yeah, we
do. Just everything.
We're going to pull me in some go.
Entertainment!
There's been two solid weeks of Kennedy Center honors and Netflix releasing everything they've ever thought of. And
yes.
Movies and award shows.
I actually even have a couple of small things.
Yes. We're going to be here all night, kids. We're here for a long, cold, lonely winter.
This just in. Doug has a couple small things.
Two things.
Two things. Yeah,
there's
a
showy.
Lot of stuff we're not going to get to because of everything coming up in entertainment.
Yes,
are you blue,
understand.
Doug? Are you blue?
All right, we'll be back in 2 minutes. Stick with us, won't you?
David, what does burning smell like?
You're listening to Q Talk America.